Welcome to the Music Ed Matters podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Emily Williams-Birch, and this podcast, it exists for you. Whether you're a music lover, an educator, a choir member, each week we bring guests to the show to help explore what matters in music. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome to the show. Hello, and welcome to The Doctor Is In, episode number 22. Today we're focusing on what is working and what questions do we still have. We've made it to September, and there are things that are really working, and there are some things that aren't. And the best part is hearing the stories that go with these things. We had our first check-in chat with all of the Music Ed Matters patrons on the Patreon page this past Sunday, and we laughed, we told stories, and then we asked questions, and I've been spending the week trying to find as many answers as possible. I hope that this Doctors In conversation makes you smile. I hope that it gives you some ideas, and I hope it eases your mind that you don't have to have all the answers. We talk about some of the basics, like what type of technology setup do you need to get started, and what are some of the add-ons that you can add as you get more comfortable in your virtual space. We talk about mic problems and other issues that come up in virtual classrooms, and diction and engagement and community. This is a fun one, and I really hope you enjoy all of these ideas that we're talking through. I'm glad that we're friends. I'm glad I'm in your ear, whether you're driving or walking or running or just doing life. I'm really glad you're here, and I hope you enjoy episode 22, The Doctor Is In, What's Working and What's Next.
What is your recommendation for technology needed for virtual rehearsals, i.e. how many screens, MIDI, what are the minimum to, you know, what should you at least have?
Let's start by identifying what is your purpose behind rehearsal or class, and what are you hoping to accomplish in your virtual time together? For us, we want to sing as much as possible. We want to feel like we are singing surrounded by other people. We then want to have opportunities to work on our individual vocal techniques so we can become better singers in general. And then there are a lot of intentional moments of conversation in our virtual rehearsals. How do we accomplish that? You heard the question reference, what do you need? What are MIDIs? I feel like what I'm making every week is a bunch of little mini rehearsal tracks in a way. And those are where the MIDIs come in from. And those mesh into PowerPoints. And there's so many things to talk about. Let's start from the very beginning. Number one, what do you need? You need a computer. And on that computer, you need some type of program with which you can see all of your singers' faces. The bigger that screen can be, I have found, the more likely I am to give them good feedback as I watch them sing silently or as I watch them do hand gestures. So some space that you can see their faces. That means for me, I need an external monitor because I have everything for rehearsal that I've pre-created, all those MIDI files that I made in either GarageBand or Logic Pro, the YouTube links that I want them to see or hear so they feel like they're singing as part of something bigger than themselves, any type of visual that I want them to talk about or see, that all lives in a PowerPoint. So that PowerPoint is on my external monitor. All of their faces are on my main monitor, and then I have an iPad to the left that can link as an external monitor as well, but I can also use it to play tracks, to look at music, to do score marking in Zoom because of the annotate and shared screens and those type of things. So let me answer this question in a very easy step-by-step process. One, you need a computer. The bigger the screen, the better. Two, you need some type of external mic or some type of better speaker system or something that can plug in and give you pitches, whether that's an app on your phone or a keyboard that plugs into the USB. Those are just things you'll find that you need at your fingertips while you're rehearsing, like the toolbox of things you'd have by your desk or by your piano when you were in the actual classroom. Then if you can add external monitors or if you can get a faster RAM so that your computer is going at a faster speed, if you can upgrade from the free DAWs, digital audio workstations, to the pay for ones, the things that you can do within those are just leveling up and layering what you can do and what your capacities are. But at the very basic, you need a computer where you can see your singers. Maybe in an external monitor so you can see your PowerPoint that you've created with all of the MIDI files and all the PDFs or pictures or things you want them to talk about so you're organized and have everything in one place. You need a way for them to hear you and hear the sounds from that PowerPoint, whether that's with a MIDI keyboard or a great microphone or really excellent speakers. And then from there, the possibilities are endless. I can't wait to see what your station looks like. Please do take pictures of what you're working from because it's so much fun to see these spaces we've set up. And you know, some of the students that don't have all the devices, they have awesome spaces too, and we have to celebrate that, but that's a conversation for another time.
My question is in regards to technology for elementary singers in an extracurricular style Zoom rehearsal. What technology exists, be it apps, websites, or anything else, any features, for example, in Zoom that I might not know about, are out there that I can incorporate into their rehearsals to keep them engaged as well as provide social opportunities for them?
There are so many amazing apps right now. And if you haven't looked at Dr. Derek Fox's Professional Choral Collective, there are so many ideas and lesson plans in there. I'm going to share a couple of my favorites, but I am fully aware that not every student has multiple devices or access to these apps or these programs. So I challenge you, as you are creating how these things will integrate into your rehearsal, think about how you'll also help serve that kid who is sitting in the dark corner of the Zoom classroom and either doesn't have the access or doesn't have the ability to do these things. How will you give them something that will be similar in style if they can't do it? So just keep that in the back of your mind. I'll give some examples. So my favorite thing right now is Flipgrid. I think that I wish I had that my whole lifetime. It is a blast. And the best part of Flipgrid, I set all my Flipgrids to moderate, so I see them first. But once I've said okay, they can then see all of their peers' Flipgrids. And so for us, that's been a big part of building the community and getting to know each other. They learn about giving positive feedback. They're able to listen for our goal of the day in each of their friends' voices. And they feel like they're part of the growth process. Flipgrid also gives me the chance to, what I mentioned earlier, mix what we sound like in rehearsal. So while we're in rehearsal, I give them a Flipgrid thing. We all do it together right then and there. If someone can't access Flipgrid, we have a few other options for them. But everyone who can sends me either their audio, their video, or their Flipgrid. I send them into breakout rooms to work on something else with some of my student leaders, and I mash all their things together really fast. And it's not beautiful, but when they come back from the breakout room, we're then able to work on that piece of music, and they hear themselves. I think that's something really important looking at these apps that are out there. Anything you can do to help them not feel isolated, to feel like they're surrounded by music and sound, whether that's playing a YouTube video while they sing or mixing up their own voices, that's so helpful. There's also the a cappella app. That's a fun one when you get in smaller groups that they can design some of their own jams or lip sync or sing some of their favorite songs. That's been a fun one to explore. I also really like the Blop. This is one from Dr. Derek Fox. He talked about it in a podcast. There's this Blob app, and it used to be free. Of course, now it's pay for because everyone's realizing that great apps are going to cost money. But there's a great lesson plan for that in the Professional Choral Collective on how to use it. I think another really interesting way to look at the approaches of apps and things you can use in your rehearsal or in your after-school little people things is to get them engaged. Send them on a scavenger hunt to see what they find and how can they piece it together? They're so technology savvy and they find the coolest things. Some of the best things have been found by my students. So don't be afraid to ask them what they miss. Like, what do you miss from being in person? And then find ways to create that and use technology. There's so many new apps and ideas coming out. The fast pace, getting them moving. There's tons of options. And it's a collaboration. So if you have an idea, don't hesitate to reach out and share it. I'm sure that Christina would love to hear it, but Christina's doing great things teaching in the Metro Atlanta area. And I have seen her teach and she's full of energy and uses so many great things in her Zoom rehearsals. Oh, have you used the annotate thing in Zoom? My students just showed me how to use that last week, and it's so cool. You can circle things and dot things, and if you don't like that, you can also play your iPad into your Zoom rehearsal, and you're able to mark scores in like Fourscore if that's your thing. I mean, there's so many things we could talk about right here, but one thing at a time. Don't you dare get overwhelmed and turn this episode off. We're just sharing ideas and figuring out ways that we can get students even more engaged and excited.
My question is if there's a way to play audio to your e-learners without you having to hear it, besides sending them a link so that they can listen to it at the same time. Because I have like in-person kids too, and I sometimes have like each group do something different while I get the other one going. I don't even know if that's possible, but that's my question.
I honestly have been playing with this one since this question was asked over a week ago, and the only solution that I know for a fact can work would be putting them into breakout rooms, giving them that link to listen to, which is what you didn't want to do. There's so many possibilities in this hybrid learning based on how complicated you wanted to make it, but I do not have an answer for you, and I am sorry, but I know we'll find one. I bet someone listening knows how to make it to where you can play a sound for just the Zoom and the people who are live don't have to hear it. But I don't know because I don't have that situation, and I'm sorry, but I can't wait to see how we solve this problem.
Yeah, my question is, how do we handle diction in virtual choir settings? Because I've told my adult choir, minimize the diction, but I'd love to be more specific and say, hey, these are consonants we need to minimize. These are some consonants that we can bring out a little bit more.
So we're talking about plosives and some of those things that can make the audio not look or sound great. I think that the folks at Coramore did a great job of demonstrating this throughout the summer as they were doing lots of virtual choiring and gave tips for where exactly the final consonants need to be, how far away you should stand from your recording device to eliminate the pops. And I think this is going to have to be something that is different for every singer and their device and their personal style of singing. So you don't want to have huge pops and very long at different places. So I think it starts with A, marking your score, B, practicing what you want it to sound like in those Zoom rehearsals, C, doing tons of practice runs, having them submit audio samples every week to you, these practice video recordings we do every week, audio recordings, so that you can give them feedback on, ooh, hey, this P over here popped really loud, or this D didn't quite come through, or could you give me a little bit more dental on that T? If you're doing constant practice and feedback, by the time it comes time to actually record the virtual choir, they'll know exactly what you want, just like a real rehearsal. I hope this helps.
So when we're having our virtual rehearsals online, but we also have students in person that are singing outdoors with a mask, it's really difficult to hear them. So when we're trying to broadcast for the students that are online, what kind of technology is most helpful for making those live streams or virtual recordings?
Excellent question. So there is kind of a way, if you're looking at these hybrid rehearsals, these outdoor rehearsals, that they're very similar to everyone being virtual because you cannot really hear, especially if you have young singers, them singing when they're so many feet apart, spread out over a huge field. They cannot hear themselves and they can't hear other people. So you want to create that same feeling of community and you're not singing alone as you would do in your virtual rehearsal, just like we talked in that first question about what resources you need. So Mary Biddlecombe calls this making choirs every week, and her and Tucker build a lot of resources so their singers feel like they're surrounded by a choir. One, perhaps you use YouTube links and you play some type of YouTube over a PA system that can be picked up by an omnidirectional microphone that your Zoom people will hear, but then also played into the field wherever your singers are. So they're hearing that YouTube link with other choirs singing along. That's one option. Two is the using MIDI files that you make either in GarageBand or Logic Pro, where you can either mash up audios that you get from your singers or make your own tracks and play those over, again, a PA system, or somehow that it can be heard by the field and picked up by a microphone to be heard in the Zoom rehearsal so that they are hearing singers, whether or not it's themselves. That's a personal preference on your end, but finding ways that they can hear other singers singing while they are singing. Unfortunately, I don't know a lot about microphones with, like, other than every single singer having their own microphone. Yikes. There's not a lot we can do right now to really catapult it, but I challenge you to look at this hybrid rehearsal outdoor thing as just an extension of the virtual learning platforms. We're all adjusted now to the fact that we don't hear our singers on a regular basis, and we are able to give them feedback based on the audio recordings or video recordings they submit to us every week, or based on what they're doing in the screen. The hard part with those people singing in the big field with you is you can't see their faces behind the mask. So figuring out ways that you can still give them good vocal technique feedback, I can't wait to hear what they sound like at the end and what you learn after a whole semester of hybrid outside rehearsals. This is awesome, but I hope this helps with what you could do to help them feel like they are singing with people around them. This next question is along that same vein, but I want you to hear how this director is managing their hybrid outdoor and their question.
So my question was sort of asked earlier, but I will ask it again. My choirs are rehearsing outside and masked, and I've figured out kind of how to, so we're also Zooming the rehearsal. So if anyone is absent, they can Zoom into the rehearsal or watch a recording later. I figured out how to get my sound and the keyboard sound to come through the Zoom really well by placing our speaker close to the computer. But the sound coming from the choir is almost non-existent. I would love some cost-effective ways to make that better.
So we just talked about some of those ideas for how you can look at those outside hybrid rehearsals, kind of like a unique virtual rehearsal where it's your responsibility as the director to provide the MIDIs or the YouTube links or the choir sound around them in some way. But that still doesn't answer the question of how do we hear those singers that are in person masked? How do we give them feedback? How do we help them become better singers and part of our choir? So I went looking and found a few different options in the world of teacher volume resources. So a lot of teachers in their classrooms have these things that hang around their necks that actually pick them up and help them to be amplified. And it's just this around the neck kind of microphone speaker system that could potentially work, but it's not very cost effective if all of your singers are having to be required to use them. But if that is something that you could write a grant for or get someone to sponsor because it could be a really great thing or a tool, or if you have students with that type of financial capability, that could be a resource. So I would say go look into the world of teacher amplification systems, personal teacher amplification systems, and they range in price, they range in quality, but that would be my biggest fear. What does this device do to the sound quality of your singers, and how will it impact them in the long run? However, it does provide some type of something to answer that question. How do you hear the singers that are masked and spread out? Maybe they all have their own little personal amplification systems. Now we're really starting to look all tech savvy. I hope this helps.
So my question is in regards to vocal health. As somebody that has always worn a headset when I teach, I'm struggling with finding the best way to be able to mic myself when I already have a USB external mic plugged into my computer to pick up everything around me. So any advice or tips or suggestions for that?
I want to give a big shout out to my friend Chris Muntz and the Choralosophy podcast. His latest episode is actually all about vocal health in these hybrid situations, and the guest talks specifically about what we're doing when we're singing with a mask or when we're singing virtually, and there's great content. You should definitely go check out my friend Chris Muntz over at Choralosophy Podcast. But how do you get the microphone for both your in-person classes and for the hybrid when you already have one plugged into the USB? Well, it's not the best answer because it requires more tools and technology, but you can get an extension so you have more USB ports and have multiple microphones picking things up. I think you can also look at this kind of like the outdoor hybrid setting where there's the one PA system that plays one thing and the other microphone that picks up everything. So perhaps you could set up your Blue Yeti, because I know you have one, just because I know who this question asker is. If you set up your really nice mic to be omnidirectional and pick up all the sound, and then you have another microphone to a PA system of some sort that gives you some amplification, that might help, because then you have the Blue Yeti to play those tracks that you've made, and you have that PA system to make your voice louder. I think that might work. I hope it does. Please let me know. I can't wait to see what you figure out, but do go listen to that episode on Chorlosophy.
I'm really slow with the technology, so it has to refer with what you talked about earlier, how you did the flip grids and then how you got that right back into rehearsal. I would need to be coached on that very slowly to do that, and how you did it and what you used.
Let me first say, way to go. Good job. I'm so proud of anyone out there that is trying things that are hard or they don't really understand or makes them uncomfortable. Things that are hard make us stronger. And I know for some people, jumping into technology is like no big deal. And for other people, it's a huge thing. So thank you for jumping over that hurdle, for admitting that some of this stuff is hard. I want to tell you what Oksana is asking about here. So I had mentioned in our Sunday chat that I have the girls go into their own breakout rooms and do activities after they've recorded a Flipgrid or audio or video submission for me, and I mix it into my computer and immediately play them back so that they are singing with themselves every single week. And that's just a personal preference. I like the fire that I have to get it done very quickly. And it's not beautiful. I do go back and edit it and make it sound better later. But it's not for a virtual choir. It's for them. So they can hear, what have we learned? Are we actually matching those vowels that we just talked about with IPA? Are we actually singing those intervals in tune? Does it sound good when our voices are meshed together? And it lets them know that there are other people singing at the same time they're singing, even if they can't hear them. So it's a personal preference of mine to mix them right there in rehearsal. The way I'm able to do that is through having multiple screens. I have an external monitor, and I have some fast RAM that I've added to my computer to help it go a little bit quicker. I've scheduled my rehearsal planning sequence so that they have an activity for about 5 to 10 minutes while I do all of this mixing. And that's something that I've chosen to do. You don't have to do that. You can have them submit it and then take all week to mix them. But to answer Oksana's question, I am going to be making a YouTube video of how I do this. I promised them that I would record one of my rehearsals where I'm actually making this happen. So we don't have rehearsal this week for the holiday, but in the coming weeks, I will be recording a YouTube to show you exactly what happens when they do their little Flipgrid audio submission, how I take that and put it into a mix. So that is coming. Stay tuned. I hope it helps. But I also hope it just gives you ideas, ways that you can make your people feel like they're not alone, because that's part of it right now.
My question is more about, like, I understand how to get sound clips, throw it in like an Audacity and make them all start and end at the same time. But what next? Like, I would like to know what are things as choir teachers should we be looking at to make it better to the next level? Is it leveling with the volumes? Is it some type of auto-tuning? What is the next step besides just start and stop at the same time?
This is a fabulous question, and it is one for the amazing Laura Sam. If you don't know Laura Sam, she is an absolute teaching pro with how to take your digital choiring to the next level. She led a host of trainings at different places this summer, and she's so great at just saying, hey, here, do this. And here's the best part, my friends. She is a church musician and has to be able to balance an organ and a choir. And she decided back in the beginning of quarantine that she was going to attend all of the Logic Pro training and then make it applicable to us as choir people and teach us. She is absolutely fantastic. You can catch all of her recorded sessions on the Choramore YouTube page, but she's also very, very personable, and you should reach out to her and just tell her thank you. If you have not watched her stuff yet, it's great. She walks you through step one. How do you get the audio files into your digital audio workstation? For her, that's Logic Pro. This could also be done in GarageBand, which is a free, or Audacity, which is a free service. And how do you get them lined up? And then the next thing, this is where it's limited by what type of DAW you're using. So if you're using something free like Audacity or GarageBand, after you've gotten them lined up, you can add different features like dropping the mids and the lows and raising the highs. Some of those things will change the tone quality. And you can also add a little bit of reverb. And you just have to play around with it. There are obviously scientific answers of how you can do it, but the best way is use your ears. That's what you're trained to do. Play something, mesh with some of the different little knobs of up and down, and add some of those, like play with the mids, the highs and the lows, play with the gains when you're recording and those type of things. You'll start to hear, do you like it when it's a little bit more dry? Do you like it when there's a little bit more space in it? You'll start to hear those things, but maybe just start with reverb. Maybe add a little bit and see what that sounds like. When you get into some of the more advanced pro options, the possibilities really are limitless of what you can do to really take it to the next level. You can go in and add vibrato. You can go in and, you know, auto-tune and fix some of those things in there. And again, those are going to be unique and special for every single digital audio workstation that you choose to use, whichever one your it becomes. You don't have to master all of them. Just pick your one and make it work. So to answer this question, number one, learn how to get it in there, get it all aligned. Good job. That's awesome. If you want to take it to the next level, play with some of the frequencies, some of the noise, the noise traps, you can play with some of the reverb. If you really want to go to the next level, explore some of the training on how to incorporate vibrato, auto-tuning, fixing pitches, pitch corrections. All of those are very helpful, and you can find tons of videos on the Core Amore website and YouTube channel. I hope this helps, and I really can't wait to hear what your new and improved recordings sound like, my friends. All right, so this next one is not necessarily a question, but I love sharing the success stories, and this one has a great little joke. So if you are someone in a hybrid setting or not, and you just want to hear something fun that's working, one of the questions we were all asking back in the beginning of August before we were actually teaching real humans, some of us, was how are we going to see our hybrid students? So this is one of my friends, Christina Jimenez, she's from Florida, sharing what they've found works for making the hybrid situations feel more like they're all part of the same room.
So we started hybrid learning last Friday. We were all remote learning before that. And one of the biggest struggles that I had was figuring out how to engage and like look at everybody at the same time. And I played around with a bunch of different things, but one thing that I really loved was it's as simple as just getting a very tall table, and I positioned that like right in front of me. And so like, and it's in front of the students that are in my class, so that when I'm talking to everyone, like everyone can see me and I'm addressing everyone, and the kids at home are getting that view of me as they would if they were sitting in a chair. And so I don't have to be like, hey, how's it going over here? Are you guys good? Are you guys good? So I bought a really tall table, and that kept my eye line in the same spot, and it has changed my life. My advanced girls have nicknamed the table. I got excited about the table, and y'all, it has wheels. So if I want to go and sing in a different place in the school, we roll their name, the table's name is Shoddy. And so we roll Shoddy around, and the kids get very excited. So we love a tall table.
Go Shoddy. It's your birthday. We're gonna, no one else thought that song when she kept saying Shoddy, or get it Shoddy, get it Shoddy, get it. My age is showing. The early 2000s hip hop is coming back. What? Anyway, this is the Doctor's In episode, and I hope that it's brought a little bit of a smile to your face. I want to be honest and transparent and tell you that it's only week two of teaching virtual for me at the university level. And it's the end of our third rehearsal was this past Monday, and we have this next week off for the holiday. But this is hard, and the feedback loop is different. And the work that goes into making a successful rehearsal is different. But I'm starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm realizing that what we have a chance to do here is build intrinsic motivation into our singers in a whole new way and build it into ourselves. we don't get that same I love you ushy gushy that we get when they're right in front of us. The smiles when you're conducting and you cut off the end of the piece and they're just staring because they're feeling the music around them. I miss that. But that's not where we are right now. And we have to find ways to be proud of our singers, of our success, to celebrate the big wins and the little wins. So I hope that you have something to celebrate today. Maybe it's the fact that you listen to this podcast and you have a new idea. Maybe it's that you're going to go try a new technology that you've been afraid of. Maybe it's that you picked up the phone and called a friend and said, hey, I have an idea, let's bounce it off each other, something that you might not have done before. Maybe you're just going to be okay with the fact that the people who showed up showed up. You're creating something. You're offering something. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening right now. And it doesn't matter if every single person takes advantage of it. The people who are in front of you want it, and you're doing the right thing. What you're doing, it really matters. Choir matters more than ever as you see these communities coming together. Listening to the laughter of our catch-up chat just reminded me that the motivation might be a little bit different, how you're getting that response and how you're gauging their interest. It might be a little different, but it's still there. And we have such an opportunity in front of us to really build strong, capable singers and leaders and musicians through this kind of interesting virtual world. You, my friend, you matter. We all know that music matters. And the way that we're making it matter is so different in every situation, and it's a blast to see. Choir is alive and living, thanks to you. I'm really glad that you listened today. I'll see you next time on Music Matters. Ba-do-ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da